Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Alan, listeners, everybody, welcome to Homo Sapiens.
Thanks, Chris. How are you doing?
I'm smashing, thanks. Isn't that the most English way of replying? Smashing, thanks.
Smashing. Smashing. Do you know what I was laughing about last night? I don't know why I was thinking about it. It was a thing that you said in one of our podcasts. And you went, I'm so sorry, I'm terribly vanilla. That's what you said.
But do you know what it is as well? Like, I think it's important to come out as being vanilla. You know what I mean?
Vanilla pride.
People sort of pretend like they're absolute monsters in the bedroom or that they have big penises. And I'm like, I don't have a big penis and I'm not a monster in the bedroom. I'm not, you know what I mean? Like,
totally.
So sue me.
Average penis pride and vanilla pride.
I mean, I wouldn't go average. Like,
well,
you know,
what?
Thing of beauty has been said.
My God.
Would you mind telling me the name of our guest today?
Our guest today is Yves Mathieu, and this is an interesting interview because we actually interviewed Yves about a year ago, and we were going to put his interview out recently, but we felt that would be disingenuous considering what has happened in the world since we spoke to him.
Indeed. Yves is a queer black man. He's a very famous model in America. He's modeled for Burberry and Calvin Klein, but he's also a musician. And from the kindness of his heart, he spends tons of his time volunteering at LGBT homeless shelters or looking after older people in old people's homes. And he adopts homeless puppies. Like, you couldn't meet a kinder person.
But obviously, since the murder of George Floyd earlier in the summer of 2020, Yves' life has changed hugely, and he has become, for me, a source of information and really has become a warrior in this fight.
Really, this is the story of someone who has put this incredible career on hold to go and join the front line of Black Lives Matter. He also advocates a lot for Black Trans Lives Matter.
It's incredible. So this huge thing has happened in the world, but also very specifically to Yves. So we've decided to interview him again in the light of that. And that's, I think that's a first in Homo Sapiens.
Yeah. So, you know, Yves is one of the people who has been so vocal in the most recent section of Black Lives Matter. And so it felt like you just couldn't use an interview from before the George Floyd protests. We want to talk to him about how he's doing and what he's been through. But the thing that is incredible about him is the amount of love and forgiveness and positivity he emanates in the face of.
Oh, it's incredible. Just the light that shines out of him. He is an amazing person. Can you tell us just what your life has been like since the beginning of the summer?
You know, in the beginning of the summer, I was in quarantine with the rest of our world. And as more of the brutalization of the police was made known to the public, the uprising began. Mm-hmm. And so there's kind of like that defining decision of, do I stay inside or do I go? Me being the person that I am, I definitely went.
I'll say. Yeah.
You know, in the beginning, I remember they were telling people, you know, to make sure if you have any tattoos or anything that can make you identifiable to cover up. And unfortunately, but also fortunately, about 92% of my body is covered in tattoos. So at first I was going out in a turtleneck and like a ski mask and gloves. But I mean, it was summer in New York.
Yeah.
And so that lasted about 2 days. And I was like, you know, if they're going to find me, they're going to find me. I don't care. And the more work I was doing around my own neighborhood, I kind of felt the incentive to go to smaller towns and smaller cities and smaller neighborhoods to kind of encourage them, to show them that, you know, us in the bigger cities see them and we're aware of what's happening,
right,
where they're at. So I started to just take money out of my savings and travel city to city. And I've been to about now, I would say 26 different cities.
Wow.
I've been arrested in 9 of them and I've been jailed in 4 of them.
Wow.
Whenever you go to these cities, you learn about even more names and more lives that have never made the news and will never make the news. Mm. But the fact of the matter is that a life was taken and that it is a life to begin with.
When you've been traveling around, like, is there times when you felt like you're getting somewhere?
I do have moments of hope, but they don't last long. Like, we're reminded every day that we don't have as much value as the lives next to us.
Mm-hmm.
To me, like, one of the beautiful things and also sad things is seeing little children at the protest,
mm-hmm,
with posters and signs and just they're in solidarity. But I'm like, these kids can't even be kids. Like, why aren't they riding bikes?
Yeah.
You know, why aren't they learning how to paint? Why aren't they in dance class? Why aren't they taking karate lessons? You know, just like things that kids, yeah, like to do. And when I was in Wisconsin, in Kenosha, where Kyle Rittenhouse shot and killed 2 protesters, that following weekend, there was a White Lives Matter rally that was taking place in the very same space where all of the Black Lives Matter rallies were happening. And I was thinking to myself, how is this not intentional?
Mm-hmm.
Out of all the places you could go to in this town, you pick the one spot where the Black people have been meeting up to march and protest. And so, you know, we went there to counter protest. And when we got there, there was a table and there was this, people were just signing up to preserve white rights. And when I walked up very cordially and I asked this woman, I was like, I just need you to help me understand. I just want to know what are white rights? What are you deprived from? What is stopping you from advancing as a person, mm-hmm, in your career, politically, socially? What is your handicap? I really want to know. And she was shouting in my face and she was like, you know, I'm no different than you. I'm here fighting for my rights. And I'm like, what are those rights? And I mentioned to her that in the crowd that she was in, there wasn't anyone wearing a mask, but there was also a young girl who was maybe 4 years old who had a sign, and it was a fraction and it was the word white over black. And I asked her, I was like, does that little girl know how to read? Because I'm pretty sure she didn't make that sign, you know? And it's like, the day before that, I was feeling super encouraged and I was happy. And we had purchased a bunch of local fruit and vegetables and brought them to different families in the neighborhood and hung out and like played jump rope. And then the next day I saw that. And
like, one of the things I was going to ask you about is this thing that I find so amazing that you said that Black joy is a form,
right,
of protest too.
Yeah, and like, just when we look back in history, you know, during the times of heavy slavery, there were still moments of rejoicing and dancing with one another, for the simple fact that your people were alive, even if they were suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And that same attitude, I feel like, has transferred generationally, where I think that some people have this idea in their mind that just this year is when police brutality has started, but it's been happening before all of us were even around here to witness anything at all, you know? And it's to be able to sit through that and witness that and also have the energy to go and pick up some burgers to grill for your family and listen to music in your backyard. To me, that is like one of like the biggest slaps in the face to the oppressor.
Mm-hmm.
Is to show that, you know, we witness ourselves being killed every day. You take away our jobs, you take away our resources, you make it so we are living in neighborhoods that never see any sort of growth, but yet we're still dancing.
Yeah.
We're still smiling. We're still making plans to have a cookout. Still, even with all of this, with all the blood that has been shed, with all the blood that is shed, we are still taking the time to celebrate each other. And that to me is protesting against this system that so consistently tries to remove any possible bit of thing that we could ever reach out to make us happy or bring us any form of solace. We find that solace within ourselves.
Don't you feel that there has been some sort of societal shift this time since George Floyd?
Yeah.
You do?
I mean, I think the reason why that this feels different, because I was telling some close friends and my family this, that the only reason why the uprising has had such a rising that it has this year is because white people have joined the conversation. Mm-hmm. Because before this, it was just black people and black indigenous people of color talking to each other about the issues happening to each other. It's easy to be in a room of people and say like, okay, I agree with you. What do we do with this agreement?
Yeah.
Like, where do we take it after this? But when you add white allies to that space, white people are able to enter spaces that I can't enter socially and have conversations that also I can't have with other people. So whenever I go to protests, especially like through my travels, and I see a lot of white people at protests, I'm actually so happy. Because I'm like, you are going to be able to go into jobs and go speak to members of your family who would never talk to me about what is going on. And that to me is like what makes this uprising different than the uprisings in the past. And also, this is one of the first uprisings that has involved and talked about trans people. Mm,
right.
And the uprisings in the past have not included trans people. And even so now, trans people still aren't even included enough in the conversation. But I feel like a lot of times too, with an uprising as big as this and as effective as this, it also creates a different kind of fear in people as to when they don't want to talk and they don't want to speak out and they
don't
want
to go outside. What does that mean?
Like, I think that people more so with men, I wish more men were outright and out front about supporting trans people.
Yes.
You know, and supporting the movement as a whole. I was at a march in Minneapolis, and this guy walked up to me, not knowing my sexuality or anything about me, just walked up to me. And he said, man, he's like, I wish I could get behind the movement, but I'm so tired of seeing all these women lead these protests. And I was like, excuse me? And he was like, I just wished it was like a strong man leading us. And I was like, you need to know what you're talking about. All I know is that there aren't enough women already, period, being uplifted and supporting this movement. So how, I was like, were you not born from a vagina? Like, where did you come from? Like, what? And you're telling me you're not going to follow a movement because you are upset that more women are leading the protest? I was like, where are your friends? Like, where are you? Like, where are you? Like, why are you walking up to me? Like, do you think I'm going to agree with you? Like, I don't understand, like, why you can have the energy to say this, but you can't have the energy to walk up and see how you can get involved.
And the assumption that you would agree with them speaks volumes too.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, because people associate certain types of styles or looks with a certain way of living, and they assume.
So he thought you were going to agree with him.
Because you're tatted and pierced.
Correct.
And he thought that you're going to.
Right. He probably thought I was just like. I was a straight guy who was just hanging out there hang out. But I was like,
wrong.
Yeah.
Right. Wrong on every level. You know,
somehow moving beyond this idea that a person standing across from you is whoever it is the same as you. And also particularly when, you know, what springs to mind when I think of you specifically, Eves, is like, you're this person who adopts puppies and goes and plays bingo with old ladies. You know, there isn't a warmer person I have ever encountered.
I actually, amazingly, in March, was recognized by the Manny Center for the amount of hours that I've put in going to feed and play bingo with my seniors, which was crazy to me because I had never even thought about the hours.
Yeah.
Because I just love going so much. I wish I could go every day. But even with COVID, like, we couldn't be around seniors.
Right. Of course, yeah.
But yeah, in March I was recognized for how much time that I've been going there.
And how long was that?
It was every Monday for 3 years.
That's great.
And so when I first started going there and going for bingo, you could tell that none of them have ever like had a conversation with someone that looked like me.
Mm-hmm.
And so the reason why it was so special for me is because I was able to be like a door to like another life that they may have not been exposed to. And maybe like in the future, if they were to come across someone who looked like me, they would have more of a unbiased opinion.
Right. Yeah.
On who was making their acquaintance.
I remember you saying that people, you were there completely voluntarily and you do it from the love within your heart. But
yeah,
people would say to you like, oh, are you here on a prison program or something?
Exactly. People thought I was there like for probation time, like to get community service hours from jail or like crazy
things.
Well,
now you can tell them yes.
Now it's just the truth. Exactly. And so whenever I was there, you know, I was like, no, I just really like being here. People thought also that I was being paid to be there. And I was like, no, and I also don't want to be paid to do this. I just really care about them and they mean a lot to me. To me, even just saying that sounds so normal, but I feel like because of where our society is, that people don't think that you could just care to care. There has to be something else.
Yeah.
There has to be something extra in order for you to show empathy for someone that's not yourself or someone that you don't like directly know. And so in my time with them, we have developed and grown such a beautiful, beautiful relationship. And all I do there is just, we cook food, put it on a plate, serve them food, clean dishes and play bingo. I miss those moments so much and those interactions. And they really, most of all, helped me out with, mentally, like my mental health.
There is an interesting thing in older people become invisible in a slight way that you've talked about. It's totally, totally different, but with Black trans people and, you know, you totally through that are practicing what you preach, which is I go to people who don't get seen.
Aren't seen, yeah.
And I don't know,
right.
And who may judge me, and I give them love. And you don't even ask for any fucking praise. You just do it.
Yeah. And I don't want anything. Like, I don't, like, people like message me all the time. And like, I try my best to respond to as many DMs as I can. But Christ in heaven, there are so many messages. There's so many.
Sure.
And, you know, people sometimes, you know, say like, you know, what can I give you? What do you need? I'm like, I don't need anything. Just be nice to your neighbor.
Oh,
like, that's nice.
Do you know one thing that keeps coming up again and again is that people saying that like Black Lives Matter didn't start this lockdown. You know, it's been going on for a long, long time. And I remember you telling us a story about being in an Uber pool a while ago.
Yes.
Because it's such a perfect example of how insidious this has been for such a long time.
Right. So I was in Uber pool and I was picked up at night. By the Uber driver who happened to be a woman of color. I had seen that there was already someone in the back seat. So I was like, oh, there's someone in the back. I'll just get in the front. This was like pre-COVID time where you could sit in the front seat of an Uber.
Yeah.
And so I sit in the front seat. And when we start driving, the woman in the back seat says, oh, I need to get more pepper spray. And the driver looks at me and makes his face. This is the driver. And I was like, pepper spray? And she was like, yeah. And I was like, it's whatever. Like, it's fine. And even just me saying it's whatever, it's fine, shows you like the conditioning of me training myself to be okay with people saying negative things around me, even if they're indirect.
Yeah. Well, she said that just like, she didn't mean we've got to stop and I've got to pick up some in the store. She meant just like, I am intimidated by you.
Like seeing you reminded her that she needed pepper spray.
Right. Because I look quote unquote dangerous.
Right.
Yeah.
And so as we're driving, sometimes in Uber pool, if there's an address that is before or after the person, they could drop you off. They could drop the person off first, even though you have been in the car longer.
Right. Yes.
And so we're driving, we're going over the bridge, which I don't think she was familiar with. And we hear her whispering on the phone and she's making a phone call. And she's like, please help me. My driver is pretending to be lost. I'm being kidnapped. And the driver looks at me and goes, kidnapped. And I look at the driver and I was like, kidnapped? We like mouth it to each other. Because we like, I thought I was hearing stuff. And so did the driver. It was one of those moments where like something is so serious, but it's like kind of comical because you don't know if it's real.
Yeah.
And we keep driving and we make it over the bridge. We get to like this stoplight and I see police cars. And I was like, oh man, like something's going on. The driver goes to turn and one of the cop cars pulls in front of the Uber car. And I was like, what? And the woman in the back, she starts screaming and she's like, you guys are trying to kidnap me. I know you're kind. Da-da-da-da-da. Just like screaming at us. So you're never going to take me? And I'm like,
and she, but if I didn't say this, but she is a white woman.
She's a white woman. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's a white woman. And even with all her screaming, I was being really cordial. And I was like, ma'am, something is wrong with you. I was like, can you please like calm down? And like, you're being really disrespectful. She was like, don't you even try it. She was like, I'm ready to go. Da-da-da-da. And I was like, what? As all this is happening, I see the officer walking out of the car. My phone was like on my left leg near where the seatbelt thing is. And so I go to pull my phone out to pull up the Uber app to show the officers that this is Uber. My phone falls in the seat space where the seatbelt is. So I go to reach for it. And as I'm going to reach for it, the cop takes the back of his gun and hits our car window. I like jump and the woman puts her hand on my leg and she was like, please don't reach for your phone. They will shoot us. And I told her out and I put my hands up and I was like, I'm totally fine. Like, I'm okay. I'm not going to reach for it. I'm not doing anything. And the cop then has his gun at the window and he's telling us to get the F out the car right now. As he's opening the door, the woman behind me in the seat, she has already opened up her car door and is still screaming and shouting at me and the driver saying that we're sex traffickers. And so I get out of the car, my hands are up, and he's saying, he said, two people here are involved in illegal activity. And I said, I don't know anybody here. This is Uber Pool. And he said, someone here made a phone call. And I was like, my hands were, I was like, she made the phone call. Her. I was like, she behind me, the one who's screaming right now, the one who you're not talking to, she made the phone call. Talk to her. Ask her why she called you. Ask her why she made the phone call. Everything said, I'll talk to her once I find out who here knows who. And I was like, sir, I was like, you can have the other officer come here and get my phone and pull up Uber. I'll give you my password, whatever you need to look at the app. And the license plate on the app will match the license plate on the car. I was like, I don't know anybody. This is Uber Pool. And he said, I'm going to ask you one more time. Who do you know here? And I was like, I don't know anyone. This is Uber Pool. He finally walks around to the driver. Meanwhile, this woman is still in the back seat screaming.
What?
And her car door is open and she's still shouting at us. He walks over to the driver and he says, how you know this young man? And then she says to him, every single word he has told you has been truth. She said, I'm an Uber driver. I can give you whatever information you need to show you I'm an Uber driver. She said, this woman was threatened by this man before he even got into the car. So before I even got into the car, she was saying stuff, not even knowing I was the other passenger in the Uber. She was already saying things before I even got into the car. So me getting into the car made her even more irate because she was like, oh, I have to get pepper spray, da, 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 after making comments about me before I even entered the vehicle.
Wow.
They never once spoke to the woman in the back seat. They walked around, escorted her out and took her home. And then we drove away.
Wow. And where was this? Which city?
This was in New York.
Wow. Oh, my God.
Was that in 2019?
Yeah, in New York.
And it's that thing of like the assumption of what's going on just by the color of the skin without any questioning. They never
exactly.
even ask her.
Exactly.
It's just, I think the saddest thing about that is the tacit knowledge between you and the driver that how this is going to go. You know?
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
When my hands were up, when I was reaching for my phone, she said, if you go to reach for your phone again, they will probably shoot us. But she said that in the same calmness of someone saying, I'm going to make coffee in the morning.
Wow.
You know, it was just kind of this
such a part of your life.
Right. It's like this contentment of knowing that like you might die today. And it's just something that it's like inevitable. It's something that you can't fight. It's such a natural part. And unfortunately, this natural part of you being alive is knowing that like that life can be taken for something that you have no control over.
Yeah.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments.
Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
And when I was at the protests in Washington, we got to hear from like so many different families who lost their children to police. But there was something that one of the moms said that I really like, that just really hit me. She said that even though the police pulled up and like, and there's only one black person there, the police, they see five black people when they see one black person. Mm. So whenever like we see videos or things happening where a black person is detained, there is multiple officers. And the reason why there are multiple officers is because they don't just see one black person. They see five black people that they think have super strength and super speed and are able to withstand any sort of harm or anything at all. So they need twice as much of force to handle them. So in all the times that I've been arrested, there's at least five policemen.
Right.
And even down to when I was arrested in Nashville, them having me stand and saying that they have no idea what I'm capable of gives birth to that idea that they didn't see one black person handcuffed me. They saw five black people.
And a conduit for fear, you know, and a conduit, you are danger.
Yes.
And that's beyond
exactly
the person, the organism you are standing there, isn't it?
It's like, the what was the thing that the member that Hillary Clinton said in the early 90s, I think, and it was like a sort of a superhero criminal, but also obviously a black criminal. I can't remember the phrase, but it was, you know, it's this idea of like the black man as this sort of negative superhero of superhero of badness,
right,
and of scariness that is still so prevalent. It's so crazy.
Right. I mean, and that same like way of thinking has stemmed down from slavery.
Yeah.
The juxtaposition is so strange to me because they are in the same breath not seeing you as fully human, but also seeing you as superhuman.
Yes.
And then it's just so strange to me. It's like I don't exist to you, but also you need twice as much force to handle me because you think I'm stronger than you.
Yeah.
But also you were saying, Eves, about there's only certain kinds of black lives that reach the news, and it's when there's something that spikes in the story that's hooky and shareable that doesn't even represent the problem.
Exactly. I posted this thing and I said, you know, some people look really stupid only advocating for the lives that they would be attracted to in comparison of just thinking of someone's livelihood. And the reason why I said that is because, you know, if we think about not even just from this year, but in 2017, 55 black trans women were murdered. 55. Mm. 55. Like, where is this energy for black trans people? Where is it at, you know? And even going to protests, you know, people are saying names. I'm like, how many times have you heard the name of Tony McDade, who is a black trans man? How many times have you heard the name of Nina Pop, who was a black trans woman? You know, it's like, I think that there's this thing that people create in their heads of like, oh, if I wouldn't date someone, I'm not going to stand up for them. And it's like, I'm like, can we like just abolish this idea of like equating like someone's like attractiveness to us and how we would like respond to them being in a tragic situation? Why, like, can we just like care for someone because they are someone,
because they're a person,
regardless of what the situation was? I mean, this is a human being, this is a person, and can we just care about them?
Are there people supporting you though as well?
Yeah, so. I bottle a lot of things in because like I would rather be like the carer than the taken care of. That's also another struggle of mine where I'm very like, let me do this on my own. I don't want people to worry about me in a sense of like reliance. I prefer to be the caretaker, mm-hmm. even if I'm not taken care of.
Where do you think that comes from?
A lot of it does stem from just me growing up and not really being a talkative kid and keeping to myself and staying more in the shadows, because I never wanted to feel like a burden to anybody. And I also didn't really want to express things that bothered me, because I just wanted to have those talks, because I myself didn't know what the answers were or if there were answers.
But being gay and stuff, you mean? Or
yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Like just being like, I was a young queer kid and there was no one around me who was queer and who I felt could handle what I wanted to say.
Yeah.
And even now, like there are certain things that I keep to myself.
It's so ingrained in you from such a young age to just, you know, let a secret be this big inside you
that you exactly
yeah that you just don't even notice.
I've seen you take sort of, you know, mental health days yourself. I've seen that in your postings and stuff like that.
Right. Yeah. Because even before this, I was doing this thing once a month where I do a self date where I get like really dressed up and I put my phone on airplane mode and like I like watch a movie or something with just myself.
So nice.
But I have been doing those throughout my travels, because usually it's like with my travels. So like the way it works is I'll usually get a one way ticket mm-hmm. To wherever I'm going. In the case that I do get arrested, I don't have to worry about missing another flight, because I've missed so many flights already. And so if I have like an extra day at a hotel that I in a city that I thought I was gonna get arrested at, I use the extra day to go swim in the hotel pool, and I'll go and buy some fruit. I'll cut up some fruit, put my phone on airplane mode, listen to Stevie Wonder, and just chill by myself and just relax and let myself breathe. I also had a self date where all I did was sleep for 24 hours.
Wow.
I just slept the entire day because I was so exhausted, and I had spent the night in jail the previous day, and it was so cold in there that I couldn't really fall asleep. And I tried to make a pillow out of my shirt and like a bunch of napkins, but it just did not work. So I didn't get any sleep, and I was in there for like 16 hours.
Wow.
And so when I got out, I went to my hotel and I slept for the whole day. And I was like, this is going to be today's self date. And what I wish was that like before, when I was doing my self dates, they were more intentional, but now my self dates are like, I have to do it because my body will give up on me.
Yeah. Yeah. Not talking of which, but maybe lighten up the conversation a wee bit.
Alan's going to do a number. Give me a C.
you hum it, I'll play it. No, I want to talk about your penis, Eves, because you recently...
That's why we got you on here.
Exactly. That's the whole point. No,
because you had it tattooed recently.
I did.
In the midst of all this, you had your penis tattooed.
That's what I call a self date.
Right. It was a good self date. It was a painful self date. Jesus Christ.
I can imagine. That's what I want to talk about. Why did you decide? I never thought about it, because you're almost all of your body. I saw you did something else. You got something else tattooed recently. But
I got Good Trouble tattooed after my court date. Yeah.
Good
yeah.
Trouble.
I love that.
That's so great. But you said you got your penis tattooed. I said, gosh, I never thought if you had it, would have had it already. But so why hadn't you, and why did you, and what was it like?
The reason why I didn't get it done yet was because I wanted to like wait quite a bit until I had more coverage, and also really sit down with an idea that I was going to like really love and not get something that was like punny. or
inspired by John Lewis.
Right. And I wanted something also that was like that would make sense with the rest of the work that I have on my body. But most of all, I wanted to find an artist that I believed could do it justice and has also tattooed areas like that before.
And that's some trust.
And also it's such a very sensitive spot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the skin there is just different. It's almost, because I have my armpits tattooed. And it's like that same type of skin, but even more sensitive.
Apparently it's the same skin as your eyelid.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
To like, it's very stretchy. Mm. So yeah, I have been thinking about it for a while. And with the protests, you know, I with my travels, I hadn't had like a moment to get tattooed, or
I haven't had a moment to tattoo my penis.
Right, exactly. So this amazing, amazing artist named Jasmine Wright, who had I seen this picture a while ago that she tattooed of this this beautiful tiger's mouth on this woman's vagina. And I was just obsessed with the quality, and it just looked so, so good. And I was like, okay, I'm going to like inquire about this and see if I can get tattooed by her.
And where is she? Where is she in America?
She's in New York, actually.
Oh, she is?
Yeah, she's in New York. And so I had plans to stop in New York for 2 days to do laundry and repack for the next group of cities I was going to go to. And so I messaged their shop, and I was like, hey, like, I would love to get tattooed. And then the very next day, they messaged me. And so I was like, hey, I can like skip laundry this day. I get my penis tattooed and then do laundry. And so I like messaged her my idea and like what I wanted to do, and like just wanted it to be very tasteful. And I was like, yeah, I have an idea for a snake, like a snake head and like the tail and like flowers. And so when I went to the shop, she like showed me what she drew up. And I was like, yeah, this is incredible. And so we had to put the stencil on a few different times because it's such a tricky spot. And also I had shaved like 2 days before, already kind of like prickly.
Mm. Oh,
so she was like trying to like, yeah. So she was trying to like figure out like how to like shape it and like where to put it. And when the tattoo first started, I was like, can you like just let me know when we're going there so I can just like, so it's not like a shock to me. I can just get ready. And she's like, you'll know.
That's just what you want to hear. Oh, great.
And I was like, okay. But like, it's crazy because her saying that, even like now I can think about it, it was legitimately like flipping a switch to turn a light on. Mm-hmm. Because when she was on my waist, like the switch was off. But the moment the first tip of the needle started to go down, the switch turned on. It was excruciating. It was so so painful. It was so ridiculous is that I had a flight the day after.
But don't you have to like, you've got to keep it in a plastic covering?
Yeah, so I was bandaged.
Yeah,
so I was walking like I was wearing a diaper. And I remember I was, when I got to the airport, I had like my carry-on and my checked bag, and I'm like waddling like a penguin to go to like drop my bag off, and I can't even make any eye contact with people because of how much pain I'm in. My eyes just start watering. And so she was like, oh, would you rather a window seat or an aisle seat? And I was like, is there any ticket that allows me to just walk like up and down the aisles or somewhere I could stand?
Oh, sitting. Oh my God, it must be excruciating to sit.
Nightmare. So I was like, is there anywhere I could stand and just be strapped to something?
Could you tell her why?
I did tell her.
Did you?
I told her. And she was like, what? And I was like, yeah. She was like, are you serious? And I was like, yeah, I'm serious. And then she like called over someone else. And she was like, I want you to tell her what you just told me. And I was like, okay. And she was like, you got your what? Whated? And I was like,
yeah, wrong person. Yeah.
And I was like, I got my penis tattooed. And she was like, well, I'm up. She's like, I'm awake. I was like, that's what it is.
But I presume there wasn't it. That wasn't, your request was not met. You were not able to be strapped to like
my
the
request
wall.
Was not met. But I did like, I did sit in an aisle seat, but I like put up the armrest and I kept my legs like straight out.
Right.
Like almost the entire flight. I mean, it was just, it was so, so, so painful. Like 2 whole days, I was just like, in excruciating pain. Wow. But now it's healing, so it's like doing perfectly fine, but I'm so happy I only have one.
One penis.
Yeah. So it never has to get tattooed again.
I can't believe that's your sort of self-care day, doing some laundry and getting your penis tattooed.
As it was happening, I was thinking to myself, I'm like, how am I going to load the dryer?
I do exhort you all to follow him on Instagram. It's really incredibly illuminating and passionate and heartfelt and honest and a real insight into what is actually going on. It's at Eavesdropper.
Yeah, and when you we all feel, or I certainly feel, overwhelmed by the enormity of Black Lives Matter and what can I do and, you know, am I doing enough and all of that. Like, you know, that thing where he said, just be nice to your neighbour.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
We can all do that, and actually that would
huge
have...
repercussions. Just being kind and compassionate,
yeah,
and open and listening.
Yeah.
Just please write to us about this conversation with Eves. You can write to us at hello@homosapienspodcast.com.
Or you can get in touch on Instagram at Homo Sapiens, or on Facebook, which is at Homo Sapiens Podcast.
Please subscribe on Apple Podcasts and also leave a review if you like. That would be nice. Anyway, we'll be back next week with Homo Sapiens Extra, and I'm sure that will be a lively conversation.
Oh, you know.
In the meantime, take care and brush your hair.
Goodbye. Lots of love.
Hello, everybody. It's Alan with a little postscript about Eves. I just wanted to tell you that I spoke to him very recently, and he seems in a really good place. He's back making music. He was actually filming a video of one of his songs. He's still protesting. He actually got arrested the other day by the NYPD. He's been very vocal around the US election, but he definitely seems in a much better place than he did on that day that we spoke to him. And I just wanted you all to know that. Okay, take care and talk to you soon.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Powered by Spirit Studios.